George G. Got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Jake Sadler. He is a certified financial planner, founder, and senior advisor with Curio Wealth. Had a great time with Two Truths and a Lie. Had an awesome conversation talking about how financial decisions are in fact human decisions and what conditions must be present in order to feel like you are really connecting with your financial professional and that he or she is in a position to help you get to where you actually want to go. Fundamentally, how do we find trust and feel like we are in a trusting relationship where we can reach out and explore our biggest priorities and goals and dreams and concerns and get to where we want to go. And then we finished up with a great difference-making tip talking about simplicity and complexity and all of those things which the financial industry and personal finance is wrought with. So I just know that you are going to love it. Let's go. Jake, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
All right, George, I gave this one a little bit of thought, so I'm going to keep it on a theme. So I've been working for, like 25 years and had jobs in high school and college, a few different jobs. You have to figure out which one I didn't do.
Okay. All right.
So I was a valet driver at a 5-star resort. I also worked at a photo shop developing film, and I was also a stonemason working on fireplaces and walls, that sort of thing.
Varied interests from Jake. Was he a valet? Did he work at a photo shop, or was he a stonemason? Wow. I'm gonna say that you never worked at a valet.
You read me right. I was not in LA.
Perfect. So working at a Photoshop, I mean, I can't even imagine the crazy, the wonderful pictures that came across your desk.
They're all different kinds of photos. It's one of those things where you're doing it all day, every day. It's just, one photo, it's the same as the next. So you're trying to focus on, did it come out too dark? You need to reprint it, lighten it, darken it, touching it up or something. It's so funny because it wasn't that long ago, but just, in the perspective of technology, it was like a distant past where people would bring in their film. And if it wasn't ready in an hour, that was going to be a problem. So...
How funny. Isn't that true? I'd forgotten about that. Yeah. They develop in an hour and holy cow.
Yeah.
Talk about instant gratification versus delayed gratification.
It's totally different. But it's funny. I just saw an ad the other day it's like a digital camera. Maybe it's geared towards kids, but it doesn't have a screen on the back and it doesn't tell you. The only thing it tells you is how many photos you have to take. It's like how many are in the memory card, I guess. So we're kind of coming full circle, maybe back to that, let's be intentional about the photos we're taking, avoid this instant gratification. You get what you get,
Yeah.
And you got to be mindful.
A little bit of mystery.
So I think I'm going to get a couple of those for my kids. So, give it a go.
I think that's a good idea. And stonemasonry, is that, how does one start doing that?
Yeah, it's funny. I'd actually always wanted to try out stonemasonry. My dad, he was a contractor and he had some stonemasons that did really just fantastic fireplaces. I was just always kind of really attracted to that craft. It's just something about it spoke to me. You just take stones. And even if it's on site, you work with the materials that you have. It's a real connection there. So in college, I was actually, I was out ride, used to, ride road bikes, cyclists, for a lot of years. And I was riding past a crew. They were working on this stone entrance to a new subdivision. And I was riding by, I turned around and stopped and hey, do you need a hand? I really want to I want to try this out. I want to learn about stone masonry. Could you use a hand? And so they took me on,
Good for
and
you.
I worked a few summers, you know, start out mixing mud, mixing the mortar. Eventually they'll let you, you know, start laying stone on some not so visible spots. And then you get a little bit better. And, you know, then you can start putting stones in more visible places. So
I like it. And that could be something that you could fall back on, Jake, is doing some stone work. I bet that there are some festivals that you could sell some stone stuff at in Asheville. Seems like there's probably a lot of that going on there.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, it's definitely, I'll keep that in mind. You know, that'll be my own retirement.
Yeah.
Although it is physically demanding. I tell you, those days of mixing mud all day and just lifting stone, it is so physically demanding. And more than anything, my hands would give out. So it's just that constant kind of a grip strength. So I don't, maybe not the best profession for retirement, but a
yep.
side gig now.
Scratch that. Got to hang on to what you're doing. Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, speaking
yeah.
of, what is top of mind for you right now?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a financial advisor. There's one thing that's really top of mind for me right now. And so I'm in the business, we're in the business of financial decisions, helping folks make financial decisions. Financial decisions at the end of the day are human decisions. And so what's top of mind for me right now is really reconnecting with and focusing on settling into a space where we're really connecting with folks as they make human decisions. They happen to be financial, or there happens to be a financial component to those human decisions. But over the past few months, we've started a new firm. And, you know, that process takes a lot of back office and logistical effort and attention. You know, I was kind of thinking about it beforehand. You know, it's like if you have a nice restaurant and they decide to move locations, you know, the chef who's running the restaurant, he has to shift his focus to getting his new kitchen set up. He's got to calibrate the stovetop and the oven. He's got to sharpen the knives. He's got to make sure that all the orders for fresh ingredients are coming to the right location, that sort of thing. So as we've transitioned and started a new firm, we've had to really shift our focus to a lot of those kind of more logistical details. And, you know, with that dust settled behind us, a really successful and smooth transition for us and our clients, you know, now we're able, just like the chef, now we can shift our focus. You know, the chef's shifting back to making sure that his patrons have a really quality dining experience. And now we're able to really settle in and focus on what's important to us, which is connecting with that human side of money and the human side of these financial decisions that our clients face.
Such a great metaphor. If you were to, you know, it's one of those things where the thought of totally starting from scratch is probably, and I'm not saying you're totally starting from scratch, but you have a clean slate. How do we think the right way to do financial advice is? And and here we are.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's really as a part of this process and it kind of central to, you know, for us, you know, we're starting a new firm. Our firm name is Curio Wealth. And that comes from curiosity. And curiosity, the root of that word comes from the Latin, which means to care, cura. And that's really where we've been focused. You know, it's not that we haven't been able to do that in the past, but it's that now that's really what we're focused on. So, you know, what's top of mind for us? It's that focus that we're really trying to create in an intentional way for ourselves as advisors. And in the end, the experience that our clients have is feeling heard as human beings. You know, money's just one part of our lives, you know, for each one of us. And there's so many other aspects of life that are oftentimes much more important. There just happens to be a financial component to a lot of them.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly for better or for worse, money touches pretty much everything. But The business of financial decisions, these are human decisions. And I wrote down, why do we do things? Right? It's like,
Right.
Why do we do anything? Why do we make decisions about things or not?
Yeah, no. And it's really that it's having those conversations, right? I mean, we work with, a lot of folks and, at times, they say, okay, hey, we want to do X, Y, or Z. And, it's okay. Yeah. Let's just run some numbers and see how this fits. But a lot of times, if for no other reason than we just want to know who they are, why this is important to them. It's that question of why, what's really driving you to this decision? Or if they're kind of at this point of being conflicted around a decision, coming from a place of actually genuinely wanting to understand, hey, what's important to you, and allowing for that space, because I think that's what's required in making decisions, especially making financial decisions, is having that space to really kind of talk it out. And, for us just to be a sounding board and to offer that space and to listen, without judgment and without having a predetermined direction or outcome for them, just where do you want to go with this? What's important? What's driving this?
What are some of the conditions that have to be present in order for people to feel comfortable to have those kinds of conversations?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's a lot of different elements, of course. Trust is at the center of that. And we really appreciate and respect the trust that our clients have in us. We work with clients on an ongoing and long-term basis, and trust is very fragile. You can spend years building trust and building a relationship of trust and offering that space to clients where they can be heard, and it can be gone in a moment. So with every action, if we're doing something on behalf of a client, we're, managing their portfolio, transferring money, whatever it is, we always have to be mindful and intentional that every decision counts, not just from that perspective of trust, but because it does. And so that trust is a condition that has to be there, for that space. But also, I think there's this fundamental perspective that we have as a firm and as a culture where when we're with a client, there are two experts in the room. We might be an expert. We might have some knowledge and some details on some technical things related to taxes or the portfolio or, building a financial plan. So we might be experts in that. Our clients are experts in themselves. They're experts in what's most important to them. And so our information, our knowledge is useless without their expertise. So really, it's a partnership. And I think a lot of lip service can be paid to these ideas in our industry, and I think more and more so as an attempt to differentiate. But this is really important to us. And we also have to have the space, and we also have to give ourselves the patience that we need as advisors to make sure that we are being mindful and intentional about offering our clients that space as well.
I love everything about that. I love the idea that there's two experts in a room, and certainly you as a financial professional, having done it for as long as you have, can probably make some pretty educated assumptions about people and sort of size them up, for lack of a better term. But why not just ask? Why not ask them what's important to them? Why not ask them about them first before you just come with your solution?
Absolutely. It's really, it is hard. It's a process. For me, just personally, to kind of grow into that, it's tempting to want to make these assumptions. Like you said, we've seen a lot of different scenarios and different cases, different relationship dynamics. We can kind of see around some corners in terms of, what the client might be experiencing, at least financially, or what they're kind of, the challenges that they may be up against. But we have to hold back and take those steps back to say, Well, we think that we might be pointing in that direction, but we just need to find out. We need to ask the question so that we can hear from the other expert in the room to find out if that's the truth or not. And so it is hard, but I think for me, again, personally, that's the kind of personal growth trajectory that I want for myself. You know, that's who I want to be. That's what I want to, you know, how I want to be received and present in a room. And that's, at the end of the day, if I were sitting in their shoes, that's what I would want somebody else to do for me.
Mm-hmm. It strikes me that you need to have experience. You need to have the knowledge. You need to have the confidence to be able to sit back. And even though I know the answer to the question, I don't want to just say it. You want to help people to self-discover and go through their process. Mm-hmm. And be there when they're ready to say, you know, what do you think that we should do about this, or what are some ways that have worked?
Mm-hmm. It does, and I think along with that, you know, knowledge and experience, it also, there are certain lines in the sand that have to be drawn. It's, you know, we serve as fiduciaries for our clients, which means we have a legal obligation, a duty of loyalty to them, that our advice is in their best interest. And if we see something, if we see a habit or a decision that we don't feel is in their best interest, even if they're saying, this is what I want to do, we have a responsibility to say, hey, I'm concerned about this. I'm concerned about where this might end up. And let's talk about the potential outcomes. And so we do at times have to draw those lines in the sand to point out things that we see aren't in our client's best interest. So it's easy to hit all the green lights. I mean, it's what we usually say, you know, you're driving down the, you know, main boulevard and, you know, you hit all the green lights, you don't need any help, but you hit a few red lights and, you know, you need some help. So that's what we're there for.
Isn't that the truth? It's easy to navigate a boulevard of uninterrupted green lights, but when there's something up ahead that I can't quite see or whatever.
Yeah.
Being able to have some professional advice, and you've earned the right to, through trust and the listening, to be able to be more assertive and to say, you know what, this is something that I think that we're going down the wrong path, or whatever it might be.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, if I'm sitting in, you know, our client's shoes, I don't want an advisor who's simply going to just agree with everything you have to say. You know, it's important to be challenged. You know, when your ideas, you know, have some risk, they carry some risk. So, you know, that's part of our job, is to offer a challenge. It's not, again, without judgment. It's just objectively, hey, we need to challenge this idea.
One of my least favorite words in probably everything is absolutely. So if you find yourself sitting across the table from a financial advisor and they're saying yes and not in their head and absolutely, oh, for sure, that comes out of your mouth is 100% correct, you're probably in the wrong room, because number one, there's nothing that's absolute at all. And yeah, I want somebody who's going to push back and, you know, iron sharpening iron kind of a thing, versus absolutely, yep, let's just keep moving.
Yeah, I know. I try to be really measured in responses. When there's a high degree of confidence, okay, that's the objective observation. There's a high degree of confidence. So, like, you don't say, oh, absolutely, 100%, you're good to go. No, I mean, you know, there's a high degree of confidence. Yeah. So we try to be measured. It sounds pretty nerdy at times, but.
I appreciate that. Are there some things that, as you are, because you have some other co-founders, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you all put your heads together and you said, here's what we want to do. What are some mm-hmm. of the things you said, you know what, we definitely don't want to do this. We definitely don't want to fall into these traps.
Yeah. And you know, that's really important. You know, knowing what you want is one thing, but it's also, you have to know what you don't want. We do not want to be transactional. You know, there's certain elements of what we do, okay, that are kind of mechanical, but we don't want it to be transactional. You know, if a client needs, say, they're retired, they need a distribution for a big trip that's coming up. What we don't want is, we don't want to just be there as a bank to say, okay, oh, wow, I had no idea you were going to do do that. We've got the money for you. I'm not even going to ask you where you're going or what you're doing or why it's important. I'll just get the money out to you. And I'm probably not even going to talk to you. It'll be, you know, someone on our really good service team. So that's what we don't want. We don't want to be transactional. You know, we want to be a part of the conversations to explore what's important to them. We want to know about this trip years in advance. I have a client who, you know, she has some Italian heritage, and for years and years, she wanted to get back to Sicily, to Italy. It's where her family is from. She did some DNA tests, you know, saw 99% is right there from this one part in Sicily. And she never knew if she could afford it. But we were offering the space, you know, for her to say, you know, this is what she wants to try to make that connection back to her roots. And so first of all, asking the question, I mean, is it possible? So you know, we run numbers and all that sort of thing, but we have those conversations about what's important and why, and to hear that and to know that at the point where she comes back years later and says, I booked the tickets, I'm going. It's so rewarding. I mean, it's selfish in a way, because this for me is really exciting and rewarding to know that I've been privileged to be a part of this journey to where she didn't know if she could do it. She really wanted to do it. And now she's booked the tickets. And then for her, you know, to get back and say, as we were approaching Sicily and coming in for a landing, I just felt like I was home. You know, those are, to hear that experience. And again, it's just a privilege to be a part of that journey, but that's what we want. I mean, you could take, you get two possible outcomes for the same thing. Client needs money for a trip, or really wanting to be a part of their journey on these decisions. And it's really two very different things. So yeah, we don't want to be transactional. That's not at all what we want. And again, I had mentioned, I think patience, because for us, our day-to-day, just like so many other folks, it can just be overwhelming. We can be swamped with a million. It could be mechanical, kind of seemingly transactional things. And so the patience to be intentional, methodical, and to recognize and appreciate those moments where, you know, a client is fulfilling something, you know, reaching a goal that they had always wanted to achieve, and being present in that journey with them. So we kind of have to take a step back to appreciate that as well. We want to have that.
Yeah, I love it. It's a great example of, I don't call ahead to the bank to discuss why I'm about to take money out or whether or not it makes sense. I just get there and I expect them to give me my money.
Yes,
which is a totally different dynamic than the one you laid out. I think that's really well said. So
that's a good analogy, because, you know, that's pretty much what we don't want. And, you know, we're in the business of relationships, and we want relationships because we're human too. We want relationships that are rewarding and fulfilling for us. You know, these are the people that we're choosing to spend our time with. They're choosing to spend time and trust us, and we're also choosing to spend time with them, and we want to value and appreciate the people, the relationships that we have. So being intentional, again, is really important there.
Financial decisions are human decisions. I love it. Well, Jake, we're ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
The difference-making tip that I want to share is that simple does not always mean easy. Simple does not always mean easy. And there's a lot packed in to that tip. We could go down a number of different avenues. But as I reflect on the work that we do with our clients and where we have seen folks find success, it's really within that message. That simple doesn't mean easy. There's so much noise out there when it comes to making financial decisions. It can be really distracting. We can be very tempted to overcomplicate our financial lives, thinking that we're doing all the right things because we're focused on these complicated details. In the end, you know, for a lot of folks, you lose sight of the forest for the trees. And a simple message when it comes to a financial decision, a lot of people can turn their nose up at it and say, that doesn't sound complicated enough to be the right answer. Just because it doesn't sound complicated doesn't mean it's easy. I think that's why it gets dismissed, right? I want to prepare for retirement. You know, whatever age you are, say you really need to save. If my message to someone is, yeah, you need to save more for retirement. Well, that I knew that, right? I mean, like, that's what they could say. That's really simple. I don't have as much as I need. And, well, the only way to get there is to save. Yeah, I already knew that. Tell me something different to make that go away. Because the reality is, that's not an easy answer. That's years of dedicated hard work and commitment and discipline packed within something that sounds simple. There's a lot of different examples that we could use where the simple answer is just easy to dismiss because it doesn't just seem right. But so often it's the case that simplicity is the right answer. It's like, I mean, I don't want to say it, but it's the old, KISS, keep it simple, stupid. and it's, I say that to myself, so I feel comfortable saying it. If you overcomplicate things, you end up getting sidetracked and you lose sight of what's really important to you and making the progress that counts. And you lose sight of the things that you actually have control over. None of us are making effective decisions if we're focused on things that we can't control. We have to focus on things that we can control. None of us are likely to make good decisions if we don't remain disciplined and if we don't remain patient over time. Discipline and patience. Oh, wow. That's your financial plan. That's really simple. Yeah, it might be simple, but that's not easy. That's, again, there's a lot baked into that. And, you know, Occam's razor is another one that comes to mind. You know, the simplest explanation is likely to be the right one. And the last thing I'll say, you know, at least on this idea in response is, sometimes the simplest solution has been the most well-tested. It's been tested against every degree of complexity. It's been challenged with every possible question. Yet it remains the steadfast answer, right? So it's not that a complicated solution is better than a simple solution because it's different. More than likely, something like it has been tested against the simple solution before and failed. So simplicity is a lot of times the advice that wins the day. But again, it's not always easy.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on. Part of the human condition right there, Jake. We have a tendency to overthink and over dissect and overcomplicate. And just because something is simple doesn't mean that it's easy or of low value for all the reasons that you just described. So I'd love it. Well, Jake, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we've got a great online presence, so you can find us on our website, curiowealth.com. We've got a blog, which we call Curated Curiosity. Curating the right resources is really important to us. Whether or not we're working with you as a client, we want everybody that comes into contact with us to leave with more than they came, you know, with. And so curated, I'll also mention, comes from the same root word, to care, as curiosity. So Curated Curiosity is our blog. We also have a podcast called Conversations with Curio. I'm in Asheville, North Carolina. I work with folks nationwide, as do my partners. So you can easily find us online and we can go from there.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Jake your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to CurioWealth.com, C-U-R-I-O, wealth.com. Check out the Conversations with Curio podcast. Check out the curated Curiosity blog.
It's a tricky one.
Say that three times fast. I can't even say it one time fast. Curated Curiosity. Nailed it.
You did it.
Thanks again, Jake.
Thanks, George.
Finally, friendly reminder, never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.